Very thankful for the cross this morning. I'm thankful for the beauty of it, for the glory of it. Desire and interest in your prayers this morning. The Lord has put a real burden on my heart that I trust the Spirit will convey that burden to you this morning. That this would not end with this service. This is something that I have a burden for personally. The Lord is, and I want you to know that I am not just up here chastising the congregation or getting on to the congregation. I have been very personally challenged to where I've been continuously, Lord, help me. And so I would just like to share this burden this morning. And Lord willing, this afternoon, we might have a little bit more informal opportunity for us to discuss some of these things in our afternoon service. And I hope that's not the end of it. I'd like to begin in the book of 2 Kings. I've written on the board, tell, invite, and compel. And I think those three words convey the burden, the essence of the message. But over in 2 Kings, there is a very familiar story that we are not going to read the whole thing, but if you will recall, the Syrian army had besieged Samaria. The Syrians came and they were besieging them. There was a famine inside the city. Inside the city, the circumstances were awful. Do you know that when there is famine, sin abounds? Because people are doing whatever they can to get a little bit of food. Because mankind, ungenerated mankind, without God, is depraved. The depravity of man is gross darkness. So what was going on in the city was horrible. The people were so hungry that women were selling their children. They were eating their own children. It was horrific conditions within the gate. You read the story about this and we find the king was walking on the wall and there was a problem, and it was because two women that had children had agreed to one day eat one of their children and another time eat one of the other children. Awful conditions. And so that is the background for what we read. Outside the gate, there were some lepers. And these lepers were hungry. They were thinking, well, you know, or they were inside the city. Actually, they were on a journey there. They were there and they said, should we go inside or not? And they said, if we go inside the gate, they're starving and we're going to die anyway. So why don't we just go to the Syrian camp? Because here the Syrians, the army, I mean, they've got all this food because they're outside the gates. They have access to all the food, all of the fields of the Samaritans that were out there outside the gates. They had access to all that food. So they said, you know what, we'll just go and throw ourselves on their mercy. Because there's food there, so if we go inside the gate, we're going to die anyway. So to the Syrian camp they went. There's a song about that in our book. They went to this Syrian camp, and before they got there, the Lord caused the sound of chariots and horses and a mighty host to be heard. And the Syrians thought an enormous army was coming down on them. So in terror, they fled and they ran away and they left. But in their terror and in their fear, they left all of their riches in the camp. They left all of their food. And so here come these lepers. I believe there are three of them. Here come the lepers and they look around and it's like no one's in the camp. And there's all this bounty. There's the gold and the silver and all of the clothes and a bountiful amount of food. And they sat down and they started to have a good, wonderful meal. The beautiful, wonderful food. And then I can just see them starting to eat and then they kind of look at each other. It's like, you remember what's inside the camp? What's inside the gates? You remember the horrible conditions that are in there? And in verse 8, the 7th chapter, says, when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried thence silver and gold and raiment. And they went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. In other words, they were storing up the goods. Before anybody else discovers all of this wealth, we're going to go and hide it, so we'll be sure we get some of it. And then they said one to another, I can just see them, you know, their arms loaded down. Then all of a sudden they kind of look at each other and say, what are we doing? What are we doing? They said, we do not well. This day is a day of what? It's a day of good tidings. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. In a time of darkness, in a time of despair, there was hope because of the presence of God. God was the one that drove the enemy off. And they had all of the food that was needed. And at the same time, there were women that were doing horrific things inside the gates of the city. Do you know this morning that we live in a time of gross darkness? People are being surrounded by the enemy. People are in bondage. People are not experiencing the joy of the Lord. We live in a society that is so lonely. We live in a society that is hurting. We live in a wealthy society materially. But people are not happy. People are in bondage to sin. But you know, there's some good news. One of the brethren that we spoke with, that we were with this weekend in service, we were counseling a young man that came in off the street, had been in prison since he was 17 years old. He was now in his 40s. He had been released about 3 years ago. I think he had a lifetime sentence. He came in one night after service. I could smell alcohol on his breath. He was not a happy man. He was angry with God. And we talked and talked and prayed and prayed. But do you know that there was good news that could be offered to him? But one of the brethren that was there, and young people, I've mentioned this a while back, you may look around the saints and think they don't understand the things of the world. One of the brethren that was counseling with us, he's told this man, he said, I was one time in my life, he said, I had two or three women, had a pocket full of money. He said, I had a joint in one hand, a beer bottle in front of me, and a needle hanging out of my arm. That was his life. He comes to Monarch. You all see him, but he found something better in Jesus Christ. He found deliverance in the Lord. There was deliverance from drugs. There was deliverance from alcohol. There was something that he found in Jesus that he doesn't want to ever go back to that lifestyle. And the world is trying to make that picture so pretty. I can tell you this morning, it is a lie of the devil. But he found something better. The Syrian said, we don't do well. Let's go and tell the king's household that there's good news. You don't have to live like this. There's been deliverance from the enemy. Folks, there are so many scriptures we could read, but Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. The director at Pearl of Grace said the other night, she said, you know, it's important for people to live the truth. And I had this message before that for the record. But she said, it's important for people to live the truth. That's good. But she said, we're looking for people. If you want to work here, you've got to be able to share the truth. Folks, we need to live the life. So don't walk away saying, well, Brother Michael, it's more important to live the life. There's a whole lot of preaching done about living the life. But the message that the Lord would communicate to us, I'm not sure as a people if we've done very good about telling it. I'm not sure as a people if we have been pleasing to the Lord, if we've been enjoying the bounty of the Lord, and then there are people that are ashamed to tell what God has done. What do we have to be ashamed of this morning? Well, we don't want to offend anybody. Offend them? How can we offend them? If they're not ready to meet God, is it going to be any different? If they're offended at me, they're still not ready. So at least I can give them an opportunity to find the Savior. At least I give them an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the leper said, we don't do very good. We're sitting here enjoying all this food, and there's people out there starving. Folks, we live in a society that is starving from the gospel. Yes, there are churches around us, but do you know what they're being fed? Jesus loves you, but you're still going to sin more or less every day. That's a big part of the message that's being preached. There is a better message. There's a message of deliverance. There's a message. We live in a world, folks, in so much prosperity. I don't know if I have ever in my life seen so much hopelessness. People are losing their hope. They're so discouraged. They feel like there's nothing better out there. But we know there's something better this morning. There is a God that will walk through with us through the dark times, and we have a bright hope ahead of us. So then why would we not tell someone that? Let's talk about that this afternoon, okay? Why wouldn't we? Or why don't we? Why don't we more? Because I know there's some reasons why, but we need to start asking God, Lord, would you help us as a people to be able to have a greater burden to tell? Because people need this message, folks. Going into all the world, what about going across the street? What about walking across the aisle? Well, Lord, if you call me to Africa, I'll tell you this. It's easier for me to go tell someone on the streets in Mexico. It's easier to go into a village in Africa and proclaim the gospel than it is to go across the street. Now, for some people, that might not be true. But if you want confession, that's confession. You know, because you really, if they don't like it, okay, whatever. You know, if I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. But does God want us to do something at home? Does God want us to be more willing to go across the aisle in the store and tell someone about the love of God? We say, oh, but we, what do we have to be ashamed of, folks? I think the devil has been largely successful among us as a people to muffle us from sharing the good news. I've been saying, Lord, help me. And I hope you're praying that same prayer when you leave here today. Lord, help you. You can pray for me too. But we can pray for each other. We've got some good news. Go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. What does the word gospel mean, young people? What's the word gospel mean? Good news. Thank the Lord for that. The gospel is good news. So do we have good news? If someone came along and just, you found $30,000 buried in a hole in your backyard. Would you tell someone about that? Now if it was $5, you know, okay, whatever. $100, oh, look what I found. Isn't this neat? Now the children would be more excited than that, but you know, it doesn't cost quite a bit to fill up your tank with gas anymore, doesn't it? But you find $30,000 in a hole in your yard. If you saw your neighbor, we say, can you believe what happened? I found $30,000. I'm so excited about this. Or would you just, would you be quiet about it? Folks, I found something greater than $30,000. The man that found the treasure in the field, he went with joy and sold everything he had. He went and got it, and then he went and told. But do you know this morning that part of the call of God's people is to tell it. Give utterance. Take it. Preach it. Share it. Live it. The scripture says when Zion travailed, what happened? It's a prophecy. She brought four children. Folks, childbirth is not easy. We want the Lord to add to the kingdom of God. We want the Lord to add to this congregation. We want people to be brought in and get salvation, but it's going to take some work. And it's going to take us doing work on our knees, but it's going to take some work off of our knees. So, well, we'll pray about it. You pray about it, but there's times we're not on our knees, and the Lord's saying, go share the good news. How can people come if we don't tell? See? How can they know there's something better if we don't share it with them? The Lord would have us be like that little, and we won't turn and read it, but like the little maid in the to the Syrians. It's over in 2 Kings in the 5th chapter. There was the little maid to the wife of Naaman, who was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. And remember, he got leprosy. He got leprosy, and that little maid in there, that young girl, she told her mistress, she said, "Would to God my Lord were with that prophet that's in Samaria." She's talking about Elisha. "For he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that was from the land of Israel." Folks, what can God do if we would be willing to tell it? We're not always going to see answers. We're not always going to see people respond and say, "Oh, well, you should have told me." Yes. But you know, there have been those in the past that have heard the gospel and it's like, "Why didn't you tell me earlier?" Well, how will people know if we don't tell them? And whose job is it to tell them? And if the first thing that came to your mind is the preacher's job, that answer is wrong. We are all called to share the gospel. God has placed each one of us in a sphere of influence. And there are people that you touch their lives that no one else touches. When someone says, "Well, pastor, you ought to go visit them over here. They need some help over here." If you have a burden, you go visit them. You call them. You pray for them. You go tell them about Jesus Christ. And we may say, "But I don't know how to do it." If you have been washed in the blood, you have something to tell. You don't have to be worried. And if you don't understand all of the questions, and I know I shared that about those that came knocking on my son's door, but do you know that it's not all about having all of the answers? It is about having a relationship with the Lord that you can share with someone, "This is what the Lord did in my life." It's not about preaching at people. It's about sharing with them the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So Lord, help us to be more willing to do as that little maid that was not ashamed, and she spoke up. And she said, "Well, if he could be with this prophet, you know, he could cleanse him." Do you believe the Lord can save your unsaved loved ones? Do you believe he can do it? How long has it been since you told him that? How long has it been since you've taken the opportunity and said, "I just want you to know I am really praying for you"? Not in a self-righteous way, they won't respond to that, but in a way that "I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you, and the Lord, you know, I heard about a man that was in this condition, and I want to tell you what God did for him. I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. I used to do such and such, and the Lord forgave me and delivered me. I want to tell you what the Lord has done in my life. I was in a dark place, and the Lord came with his love and gave me hope for the future, and he delivered me from that thing." Folks, we have a story to tell this morning. I love to tell the story. When we sing that song, it excites me. It invigorates me when I think about what God has done in my life. I don't want the devil to be successful as he has been in the past. I don't want him to muffle the saints of God. We have a wonderful bounty. Lord, help us to tell. Go and teach all nations. Turn with me, if you would, to John. This could turn into a series, and that wasn't our burden. But over in the book of John, if you'll turn with me and read in the first chapter, there's a scripture we'd like to read. There were those that were following Jesus. We'll begin reading with verse 40. It says, "One of the two which heard John speak." Now, when John spoke and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," some of them began to follow him. And one of them that followed him was Andrew. That was Peter's brother. I'm reading in verse 40. And it said, "He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and he found Philip and said, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. He invited him. You don't have to take my word for it. Do you notice where each of these brethren here, when they found Jesus, they went and they told someone else? Isn't that interesting? Do you know what Jesus said would happen to us when we were full of the Holy Spirit? He said, you would be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, part of the function of God's people once we receive the Spirit is to go and tell. But it's not just telling, folks. It is inviting. It's one thing to tell and it's something else to invite. We want to invite them to come and see. Come to the Lord. Come and see what you find. So do you know there's some relevance then? How long has it been? You don't have to answer me. How long has it been since you've invited someone to come to service? How long has it been? Do you know that 82%, there's a survey done, 82% of people that do not go to service, to go to church anywhere, they said if they were invited, they would consider maybe going. 82%. And a large percent of people that do not go to services anywhere say they have never been invited by someone to go to church. I wonder how many people there are in our lives here this morning that really have never been invited. They haven't been told. They haven't been invited. I've seen some different statistics. One of them from a pretty reliable place said that 98% of Christians don't invite someone to church. Another statistic I read said I think it was closer to 50%. I wonder how the saints are doing. How do you think we're doing? Let's talk about it this afternoon. Okay? How are we doing? Why can't we do better? You know, I believe the Lord wants us to do better. Folks, we need to do better. We live in a dark world. The worst that someone can do is say no. I'm not afraid that someone's gonna stone me or shoot me in this country. How long has it been since we've invited someone to service? And they said, come and see. I want to tell you what I found. But you know, we want to be sure to bring them somewhere that they can hear something. So we need to talk about that too. What are we inviting people to? We need to, if we're ashamed, we need to deal with the cause and the root of our shame, folks. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you at the judgment. Folks, we don't have reason to be ashamed. Yes, we can say, but we're different and we're small and we're... But I found $30,000 in a hole. Isn't that something to tell people? We found something better than that, didn't we? Folks, we have something wonderful this morning. The Lord wants us to tell. And He wants us to invite. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Do you know it's a wonderful opportunity to invite people to come to service, to hear the hope of the gospel. Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I like Resurrection Sunday for obvious reasons. Easter is pagan. Had nothing to do with Jesus. But Resurrection Sunday has everything to do with Jesus. So do you know this morning that it's a wonderful opportunity to invite? I would like to challenge everybody here to go and tell and invite someone or more than one. Come with us. Come with us to service. We'll pick you up. We'll come. If you need a ride, we'll get you. But come and fellowship. It's a good day to do it because there are some people that are open to come into service on Resurrection Sunday that won't normally come. You know that? So I'd like to encourage us all, let's ask the Lord, Father, is there someone you want me to tell? And this isn't just this week, but this is a good Sunday for this. I just want to challenge the saints. I don't know. Lord, give us a vision. My words are incapable this morning. But I believe that God would have us to do better. And if we say, but that's not my personality, was it your personality to bear the fruit of love and the fruit of gentleness and the fruit of patience? Is that your personality? Just like with praise, some people say, well, that's not my personality. But do you know there are things that Jesus told us to do? It's not my personality. Do you think there are some people's personality is to be very different than to live a life of holiness? But we find there is grace to live a life of holiness. So then let's just lay on the altar this excuse of our personalities. Can we do that? Because we do have personalities. And there are some people that they're just all out there and they're people persons and they don't care what people think and they'll just talk about the Lord all the time. And someone walked into the Mexican restaurant and saw Ethan and said, can I pray over you? How long has it been since you walked into a restaurant and said, can I pray with you? You know, some people say they're strange. Well, and then Ethan said, yes, that's fine. And the lady who was with him kind of said, thank you for cooperating. You know, I don't know if that was kind of her apology or what, but I just wonder, you walk off and you say, that's kind of neat. There's someone, yeah, maybe a little strange, but there's something there that they're not ashamed of their faith. So what are we ashamed of? Are you ashamed of the way you dress? Are you? Well, maybe a little. Let's talk about that this afternoon. Are you ashamed because we're few in number? Now let's talk about that one too. Are you ashamed of the preaching? Let's talk about that one. If you're ashamed of what people are going to find, are you ashamed of who's in the congregation and what might happen in the service? Let's talk about that. If there's a cause of the shame, let's remove the shame and fix the problem that we have something that we can with freedom invite people to come that they can learn about Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to get over our inhibitions. We're going to have to get over this fear of, I don't want to insult or I don't want to do this, because that begins to be an excuse when we measure it against how often we really do tell someone. And I think then when we start to measure that, we start to see that that really does become more of an excuse. So I say this morning, would you help us, Lord? Would you help us as a people to be more willing and able to tell and to invite? And we'll just leave it with that, but I want to leave it with compel. Over in Luke 14, if you want some homework, remember when the message went out to invite people to the marriage feast? And they went out and they invited and the people had excuses, right? Do you know when you invite people, they will have excuses, but at least you invited. See, at least we told them there's a marriage supper. There's something good that is available. Would you come? At least we did our job, and that will help us grow spiritually. There is nothing that will help us as a congregation grow in our own life like having a newborn baby sitting among us. Because it's just, it excites, do you know there's something about preaching to people that are newly saved? It brings back a little fire to the message. You know what I'm saying? It's like you all, yeah, you've heard this. Yeah, Brother Mike, we've heard that before. But do you know when there's someone that's never heard it and they get up and like, this is wonderful. We had someone, it was a minister that came when we were in Shawnee and began fellowshipping with us. And he was so excited about the concept of the grace of God. In their congregations where they were, they didn't believe and even know about the grace of God. And you may say, but he was a minister in a very well-recognized denomination, which I could tell you, but I won't. Do you know that he was excited about the grace of God? Do you know what it was like to preach to someone like that? That you daily there is this power that God can give you that you can live a holy life. You want to see people start to be stirred, you bring in some new folks. Folks, the saints of God need new life, not because of us, but we want them to come into the kingdom of God. So the Lord has called all of us to be missionaries. It might not be to Mexico and it might not be to Africa, but your job might be harder than mine is. You know what I'm saying? We're all called to be missionaries in one form or fashion. And so when they rejected them and didn't respond to the invitation, he said, go out into the highways and hedges. Just go out to whoever will listen. Many times that's the people that are needy. That's the people that are hurting. That's the people that are the rejects of society that might be more open to hear the gospel. And that means when they come among us, there should be a people that will welcome them with open arms and make them feel loved and accepted, that they're not a stranger in our midst, but we welcome them with their idiosyncrasies and we love them. And if they won't come, Jesus said, you go back out and you compel them. Compel them is more, would you come? Okay, no, you won't come. And then we walk away. But compelling them is, you know what? There's something good. Learning to compel and reach out more than one time, entreating them because we have something so good. So Lord, help us if this is an admonishment. Yes, there's some admonishment. It should be encouraging and challenging. But folks, let's pray for one another. I believe God wants us to do better, and there's never a better time to start than today. This week, tell, invite, and compel. Look for the opportunity to share the hope of the gospel with someone, and I believe the Lord would be pleased, very pleased, if we would do that. You pray for me. Amen.